Plus 49.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Plus 49. Today, I'm your host, Marlene Bacha, and I'm thrilled you're joining us for another edition of the show. This week, we'll dive into stories shaping Germany and beyond. From the migration and the labor market, to connecting with education and how Germany is strengthening academic ties with Chile, aiming to attract more students to Saxony. Plus, we take a look at 10 years after Angela Merkel's famous Wir schaffen das and the complex path of refugees into the labor market with both successes and ongoing hurdles. Also, this week's interview guest is Daniele, who founded two companies and is the owner of Product Lab. He'll share ups and downs of starting a business, his experiences on LinkedIn, and why sport clubs might be the key to meeting new friends in Germany. Plus, we'll tackle another Ask a German question while taking a quick look at a home management topic, Hausverwaltung. So without further ado, let's dive in. Here's your news roundup for this week. On a trip to Jakarta, CDU politician Johan Wadepool stressed that Germany needs more than visa reforms and fast-track migration laws to attract skilled workers. "We must show a true Willkommenskultur," he said, pointing to the reality that many who come to Germany, especially nurses and IT specialists, leave again, frustrated by slow recognition of qualifications and heavy bureaucracy. In Indonesia, he visited nursing colleges where German classes are built into training, with plans to expand. Still, only about 1,000 visas from Indonesia nurses are issued per year, while Germany's labor market needs around 400,000 skilled workers annually. Meanwhile, Saxony is boosting academic ties with Chile. A new Saxon Science Liaison Office has opened in Santiago, supporting student requirement and collaborations in fields ranging from climate research to astronomy. Next, a new number highlighting the economic importance of migration. According to the German Economic Institute, foreign employees contributed a staggering 706 million euros to Germany's GDP last year, which is about 1/6 of the total economy. In Baden-Württemberg alone, foreign workers accounted for 17.3% of value creation, while in eastern states the share remains much lower. Experts stress that integration through the labor market is key, and that simplifying recognition of foreign degrees remains essential. Finally, 10 years after Angela Merkel's famous phrase "Wir schaffen das," researchers have taken stock of how well refugees have integrated into the labor market. The picture is mixed. While many have found employment and contribute significantly to the economy, hurdles like language, qualifications, and long bureaucratic delays continue to shape outcomes. That's it for this week's news. Tune in again next week to hear more about what's happening in Germany and beyond. If you think Germany takes its sausages and beer seriously, wait until you meet its fruit and vegetable royalty. We already covered the asparagus queen a few months ago, but don't worry, of course there is more. To be exact, the Apfelkönigin, or the strawberry queen, and the Gurkenkönigin, cucumber queen. These titles may sound a bit quirky, but they're an important part of local identity, agricultural pride, and, let's be honest, a pretty fun excuse for a festival. The Apfelkönigin is the official ambassador of strawberries in regions like Baden-Württemberg or Bavaria. Usually elected for 2 years, she travels around festivals, schools, and farmers' markets, praising the virtue of the sweet red fruit. Think of her as the Beyoncé of berries. She's here to put strawberries in the spotlight, promote local farming, and remind everyone that nothing beats fresh seasonal produce grown close to home. Candidates often have a background in agriculture or food farming and a genuine passion for turning jam into a cultural mission. As we've heard in our last episode, gifting jam is also a great passion of Germans. Over in the Spreewald, near Berlin, it's all about cucumbers. The Gurkenkönigin presides over an area famous not only for its labyrinth of rivers and UNESCO-listed wetlands, but also for its pickles. Spreewald gherkins are a household name across Germany, and their queen is the face of this crunchy tradition. But the role comes with a twist. It's not enough to know how to pickle cucumbers. The Gurkenkönigin also has to prove she can navigate a traditional wooden barge through the Spreewald's narrow waterways. A local skill called Staken, somewhere between gondolering and a gym workout. Call it the Royal Biathlon. One hand on the pickle jar, the other on a 4-meter pole. Both titles combine marketing with regional pride. They celebrate the foods that put these places on the map, while giving locals and tourists alike something to cheer for. And while it might sound funny, it does actually work. Strawberries and cucumbers become more than just snacks. They're cultural symbols carried into parades, fairs, and Instagram selfies. So next time you bite into a strawberry or crunch a pickle, remember, somewhere in Germany, there's a queen making sure you appreciate that bite just a little more.
Daniela is today with us, and we have decided that after a couple of years, or around 10 years, we are officially Berliners. So even though Daniel comes from another place, he's a Berliner. So welcome, dear Berliner.
Thank you. Thank you both and for having me. And yes, 9 years, I think we are all Berliners after 5. So hope all the listeners, they also feel to be Berliners like us.
I think after 5 visits to the Ausländer Behörde, you are officially a Berliner.
Super.
So you're originally from Italy, decided to go around Europe and ended up in Berlin, and now you have your own company in Berlin.
Yes, it's correct. I used to live in Madrid when I was a student. I did my bachelor thesis and master's degree in Paris and after Istanbul. I stayed in Istanbul and come to Berlin. But in Berlin, I fall in love for this tech and startup vibe. And this is actually my second company that I opened, and this is apparently it's working way better than the first one. So yes, happy to share a lot about the journey and all the failures, I guess, to get in there.
So let's start with, first of all, what is your company? What do you do? And how can we find it?
it's a good question, Sigrid. From my side, I used to work as a product marketing manager, a product manager. And fortunately, we didn't reach the seed round. And the founder said, like, look around. And of course, when you look around, you know, LinkedIn doesn't work anymore. And you need a community to meet people. And
I'm sorry, I hate LinkedIn. I have a love-hate relationship with it, because it's kind of like you go to Instagram and everybody's having these beautiful lives. And then you go to LinkedIn and everybody's succeeding at life. And you're like, oh, God. I just need a drink at the end of my day. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and that we can check a lot. I had several periods of switching people off to not see too much this. Everyone is doing great. Everyone has the best podcast, the best community, the best event, the best conference. Everything is best except you. And for solo founder, it was quite overwhelming. That's also my, I think, still... I had to manage well to not be all the time on LinkedIn. So I had 2 screens. What happened often, I have one open on LinkedIn. If I have ideas, I do marketing or posting in a side. But this comes completely like structured in a way that I know where I had to, what I had to do in the week, but not structured when I post it. So when I have ideas or creativity. And that it led to quite the boredom to see all this success. And you compete with a lot of people, and it's not safe, I would say.
How was it for you to go from your first to your second?
Well, the first one was painful. I used to be an architect. I knew that real estate is not scalable. I fall in love for marketplace, like you can imagine Uber or Airbnb. And luckily, Berlin offer a lot of support for startup. I joined the Berlin Startup Stipendium with Berlin Innovation Agency. And it was my first time that I tried to validate and bring to the market a product, which was finding workation during winter in Berlin for 1 month or more. Now, looking at this weather, we say also you need all the full year around. We build a prototype with no code. It was a spreadsheet on the background, and Google Drive to pick the photo. And I think it was GLID up. So basically, you have all the data in a spreadsheet and the photo and stuff, and then build on sort of small booking.com or Airbnb to find long term. But it didn't work. Didn't make. I most worth spend money on Instagram ads to validate. So I lost money. And I discover if you open a company in Germany, in Berlin, that costs more, this €1 you get thing. Yes, this is real, but it costs way more to close the company than opening one. So be also ready. I found an amazing friend. At the time, it was a co-founder matching event during COVID. And we became friends. It's like, well, if you have this gig of founder, you might become a product manager. And I end up in an agency that has a tool that want to become a SaaS. And there where I basically make all my experience as a product manager, product marketing manager for almost 2 years. And after layoff, arrive even for me, basically me and my team. And I look around that there was no community to search for connection and network and to find the next role. So that's why, long story short, I start to build events in monthly basis with the community. It scaled quite fast to 2,000, 2,500 people on the newsletter. A lot of connection, LinkedIn boost from, I don't know, 5K connection to 11,000 now. And at a certain moment, I just said to myself, okay, can this become my job? And let me search how is the playbook for others. And the playbook is always community, conference, services, you name it. So I think we have a great conference builder here in Berlin, which is not me, another one. And it gave me the interesting playbook. I tried to apply it and with some pitfall. Now it seems like the conference is working. We are like, I think 19 tickets from the sold out for the first one. And finally, I see Stripe moving. And you see, it's like, wow, actually people paying for what I'm saying and what I'm doing. And they come to the conference and listen speakers and... And this is this kind of Lego system that you build it, which still may I was scared, like, oh my God, maybe I had to cancel, maybe it doesn't work. And still now I say maybe some speaker doesn't show up, or I don't know, some new COVID come and the yield of all collect all this money, but still yet to deliver the service, which is a conference.
Sounds amazing. Congratulations on that. So we're back with Daniel. He has been in Germany, well, in Berlin for over 9 years. And he now has his second company. And his second company is actually working, which we congratulate you on that. And especially, I love what you said about this whole Lego system. But tell us a little bit about the conference. For who is it made? How can we attend?
Super. So the conference is made especially for people working in tech and in this particular one for product managers from a leadership position till, I would say, junior, mid-level. Of course, we have also a percentage of people that work in tech they're curious about. They join in with other teams and they also join in the conference. So quite straightforward. If you need, it's just like productlab.app. For checking the agenda and all the lineup. But behind that was, I think, a missing gap in Berlin where it's a tech scene or ecosystem, but we don't have a strong product management ecosystem like you can find in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, London, Paris. And why product management? Yeah, product management is like the people that ship what to build next in a tech software. And at least before AI, if they make something wrong, there was a lot of resources, like in terms of time and investment, that they were managing. And of course, if they're doing wrong, it can lead to company layoff or company not hiring or to bankrupt because bad decision were made. Of course, it's not always a problem for managers, but they have a big influence on what to build next. And if it's not a business outcome, then yes, it's a big one. So you can see product manager is like a role that was super interesting, and we don't have a conference in Berlin. Yes, we have in Germany and in the DACH area, but for being a tech city, so Berlin was missing. And that's why come the idea, like, okay, why not having hours and going beyond the meetup? So that's why I feel like it's quite strategic if I want to support the ecosystem. And of course, having more talents and know-how spread, then people get to know others. And also know how other company works implementing their day-to-day.
What would you say is the perfect ingredients to have a community, and especially a community in Germany and in Berlin?
I have to say Berlin is pretty special. That we have in our community, I would say, mostly are international. I guess Germans are around 10, maybe, in the whole data. So it's pretty interesting how many German speakers or Germans are joining communities or this conference. I guess it's more or less reflecting with the founder, also all the supporter we have, and they all come from the international community. So I think also this reflecting the people we kind of mirror, basically.
It is not very easy to go from, I would say, Italy, where everybody's connecting with each other very fast, to come to Germany and to navigating the whole person to person. How was for you arriving from all over the places that you were before and arriving in Berlin, and especially trying to connect with peers like yourself?
It's a good question. Thank you. So it was to summer 2016. And fun fact, at the time, summer were last 2 weeks. So I think we come back to this moment. I was lucky enough at the time there was a startup poker event. And there was a room, I think, for 100, 150 people, all from startup, mostly engineers. And fairly priced, was not a casino, it was just a friendly game, but you had to work in some startup or like it. So I went there and I fall in love with every second person at a side project that they want to build something. And I feel all this vibrant community of the tech scene of Berlin. And I said, okay, I had to drop architecture. It's not for me, it's a long time, but my future will be in the tech community. And so that's a spark me. It's like if every second person has a side project and it seems they have time to ship it and some work, that start my journey to switch from architecture to tech scene. So we say Berlin has always been really friendly, open for international, and you have a lot of meetup. Fast forward, now exploded. Like with Luma, you have like one or two events every day during the week, and every second person, they seems like communities, the growl from getting the new marketing, we say, like where people attention, you can still grab something. So every second person I was building a community, which means one event every day, which I think from one side is really good for people, but from other, go through the noise and all these meetup and find value, then the quality is start to going down.
We're back with Daniel, and before, sorry, by the way, it's Daniel or Daniele?
Daniele.
Okay, I'm sorry, Daniele.
Don't worry.
It's part of the Italian, and I love it because you can always hear when you're in Italy that they're always going like at the end, Daniele. It's kind of like very passionate. Again, something that I do miss sometimes in Germany. But you said something super important, is that you believe that Berlin was... it's a good place. It's a good place to find a community. They're open. It's international. You've seen other places. And I think a lot of people believe that Germany is quite the contrary, that it's very closed. How was it for you?
Well, for me, mixed feeling. So the community, I would say I saw the community in architecture, the community in design and tech is pretty open. However, I feel like I don't have many German friends. So how well I integrated after 9 years is still questionable. I know German, but I work full time on in English to the point that it would be hard to work in German for me. Even though as an architect and the agency, they took me as a product manager, they were fully in German. So I also learned German to do some architecture, not full independent. So this is a misfeeling. When it comes, I think Berlin as a major city could be London, Paris is not the emblematic of the country. So if you might go to other regions, Brandenburg or Bavaria, Baden-Württemberg, whatever, you name it, I guess you need more speaking German, but also to get more attached to the German culture and how they do things. So I think still Berlin is a kind of not representing fully what could be the clash with the German culture. That's mostly from my side. I think I noticed in 9 years, which might be and not might be important. If you want to stay here, I saw a lot of my friends. One is international, one is from Germany. And those people stay. The others, they were both international. Berlin became kind of the transition after a while, and they just moved to the next career opportunity. So this is also something I, in the bad or the good way, I noticed. And which also means that after a long time, after 9 years, you have to kind of reshape your long friendship, which they might have left. So I don't know if I really answer your question. In somehow I feel I'm integrated. On the other hand, I didn't do fully, and also my fault.
I think in general, the whole migration process is always very complicated. And I'm not very sure that once you migrate, you're fully integrated in any city, because you will always have your own foreign self inside of you. I mean, my grandmother was born in Germany, and I was never Mexican, even though my mom was born in Mexico. I was born in Mexico, but I've never been Mexican. And so I guess even though that's the second generation, sort of say, I come from this part that does explain that I am half Mexican, half German. And it's kind of complicated because, of course, we do migration in a very different way that we did before. Now we can all see what's happening in our countries. So you're never really far away from home. Of course, for you, it's a little bit easier maybe because Italy is not that far away. For those who live 18, 16 hours away from home, you can at least open up your Instagram and see what it is. But on the other side, maybe that's also one of the reasons we're not leaving that past behind. I don't know. It's always food for thought. Let's put it that way.
It's a good thought, actually. When I lived in Istanbul, the salary was in Turkish lira, so you were doing well in Turkey, but not coming back in Europe so often like I used to do with Ryanair, EasyJet. I mean, I lived just 2.5 years there, so it's not the same comparable to Berlin. But you see the difference with the easiness to go back home and see your parents, your family, despite it could be just 2 or 3 years, two, three times a year, versus you had to make a good effort to go back to Latin America, and it might be once a year, every few years. And of course, the year in between. So it's a good thought.
Yeah. Daniele, if we want to go to your conference, where can we find our tickets? How can we buy to see you and be part of this project that you're doing?
So from my side, just join the website, www.productlab.app, and check the agenda. Is there something for you? And after, there is the store where you just buy your ticket on Stripe with your card. So it's super easy. I try to make it super easy. And if I'm right, missing 19 tickets, or 19 tickets. So I'm super curious also the people who join and who they are, what they are, the career path, and why they want to join. So it's super exciting because I would never have thought to go fully booked. And even before the, let's say, end of August, which for me was kind of, okay, let's see where we are there.
Once again, congratulations on it. It's going to be great. I hope, I'm not from that expertise, but I might come over and say hello to all of you and meet you in person would be perfect. We invite everybody who is a product manager to go and pass by and let us know what they think about it. We have talked a lot about tech, product tech, but there's always a very good question. Where can I find very good Italian food in Berlin?
Wow, my best pizzeria at the moment, you find Nostkreuz, and it's called the Spacca Napoli. So I try all the pizzeria you have in Berlin, my parents are from the south, Amalfi Coast. And at the moment, I think ranking first the Spacca Napoli. So I do recommend to take the first S-Bahn, Ostkreuz, and you end up there. So this is my first favorite. I have another recommendation, which is not far from Gesundbrunnen, is the sushi place. Small, cozy for, we say, 30, 40 people. The you should book in front of the chef. So it's an open kitchen where is the guy that is super in love for making sushi. I think I saw sometimes he's speaking with guests half an hour just about the type of knife and the different of knife and producer in Germany and Japan. And definitely is an experience. Definitely.
So you're a foodie from what I can understand.
I like, yes, I like.
So we have our sort of say source points when we talk with everybody here. One of them is definitely the part of not being able to have a German friend, but the other part is always looking for a good place to eat. Something that feels a little bit like home, or at least that's I mean, Berlin actually has super good food. Like my parents even liked coming here because they believe that there's good food. Daniele, when you arrived to Berlin, because I love asking this question, what was your first like cultural shock where you say like, why?
Oh, wow. This is a funny one and most cliche that I've been stopped by the police because I was with the bike on the pedestrian. They say, hey, do you know you're new in Berlin? Yes. And it's like, I'm sorry. What happened? It's been in German and English a bit. And so like, if you're here, I should find you. And I was like, why? What? And so this was my first shock. But the positive way I stay because of the great mentality of going with bike.
Is there something that you would recommend or suggest to people that are thinking about coming to Berlin or Germany and that might be hesitant about it?
Well, definitely learning German before to join. I mean, if you are super young, please go to high school or university and start the German class. So it'll be way easier to integrate rather than a later age. The first one. The second, I wish I knew before all the system of Verein and join some sport association, which for me, I don't know, I discovered way later and I didn't know that it's so cheap and Germany supports so much sport in general. Like, I don't know, swimming pool is way cheaper than my home, or Verein is way cheaper than whatever sport club card you have. And it's a great way to make friends. So even now I'm actually have a football match today and there you see faces slowly integrated and most of the time I lower the majority are Germans, and it would be the right place to go and to start to make friends and to integrate more, I would say.
So Marlene, our producer, is also there. She's our German, also the person behind Hermann the German. Daniel will also ask a question later. But Marlene, now I'm very curious. Is it well known, the Verein situation? Is it something that you just take like, yeah, selbstverständlich, someone you know is going to be on a Verein?
Yeah, I would say definitely. I grew up with it and I've been to like, 5 Vereins, I would say, in my childhood. So you try them out and you look, do you fit in? Do you like the sport? And it's definitely something you start doing young. So it's just a given and it's selbstverständlich, yes.
Interesting. So there you go. If you're new in Berlin and you still don't know where your feet are landing, take a look at the Vereins and try it out. Why not? Daniele, thank you so much for being with us today. It was so great to have you with us. And definitely I'm going to take a look at your conference and maybe we can go and look into a Verein. And of course, good luck today with your match.
Thank you very much, Sigrid and Marlene, for your time and the amazing chat.
Thank you.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
I don't know if you get in the system of the Hausverwaltung and the Hausverwaltung meetings, and you have to go there, and all the decision system and the outload. So it's taking so much time to take a decision, and after to implement, it takes 5 times more. And this of Germany, I didn't yet is still have my not fully understanding how is the stereotype from Italy that Germans were so efficient. So that's how we'll ask a German. How this is possible.
If you've lived in Germany long enough, you've probably had your fair share of frustration with the Hausverwaltung, or the property management office that handles everything from heating repairs to hallway cleaning schedules. On paper, Germans aren't known for being efficient. In practice, though, calling your Hausverwaltung often feels like tossing your problem into a big bureaucratic black hole. So why is that? First, it's worth looking at what Germans actually mean by efficiency, because I think there are two sides to it. As you already suspected, efficiency here doesn't necessarily mean fast. Rather, I would say it's about correctness. The German way is to get things right the first time, no matter how long it takes. That means following every legal rule, documenting every step, and making sure no detail is overlooked, even if that adds weeks or months to a process. Second, the Hausverwaltung sits right at the intersection of bureaucracy and private business. They answer to property owners, not tenants, which means their incentives are skewed. Speedy service for you as a renter isn't their priority. Legal compliance and cost efficiency for the landlord usually are. Add Germany's famously strict tenancy and building regulations to the mix, and almost any repair or decision requires multiple approvals, contracts, or even a formal vote at the yearly Eigentümerversammlung, owners meeting. Another beautiful German word. Third, there is the structural side. Many Hausverwaltungen are overloaded. They often manage dozens of buildings with limited staff. And because Germany's housing market is currently really tight, there's little competitive pressure to provide excellent tenant service. So yes, Germans can be efficient, but when it comes to the Hausverwaltungen, efficiency more likely means ticking every single box, not getting things done quickly. It's about precision and compliance rather than speed. The result? Tenants waiting months for a broken mailbox to be fixed, wondering how the stereotype of German efficiency ever came about. And that is it for this week's episode of Plus 49. Thank you so much for joining us. A big thank you also to our guest Daniele for sharing his experiences and stories. Make sure to check out his conference in September. We'll link you the details in the show notes. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to follow us on social media and share the show with friends. You can catch up on past episodes anytime at plus49.de or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week with more news, stories, and cultural deep dives from across Germany. Until then, stay cool, stay curious, and enjoy the rest of the summer. Goodbye!